Good afternoon, and thank you for standing by. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. Your lines are on a listen-only mode until the question and answer session of today's conference. At that time, you may press star one to ask a question. Please unmute your phones and state your first and last name when prompted. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Kary Barrett, Public Engagement. Thank you. You may go ahead.
Thank you, and thank you all for joining us today. As noted, my name is Kary Barrett, and I'll be serving as the call moderator. The purpose of today's FDA call is to discuss food safety and food supply questions related to COVID-19 with our foods program stakeholders. This is not a media briefing. All media inquiries should continue to be directed to the FDA Office of Media Affairs. On our call today, FDA Foods Program leadership and the Office of Regulatory Affairs will provide an overview of current activities, respond to stakeholders' concerns identified in recent days, and highlight important FDA resources in response to COVID-19 pandemic. I am joined today by Mr. Frank Yiannas, Deputy Commissioner for Food Policy and Response, Mr. Michael Rogers, Assistant Commissioner for Human and Animal Foods Operations, Office of Regulatory Affairs, and Dr. Susan Main, Director, Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition. Following the formal remarks, we will open the call up and take a few questions during your question and answer session. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to our first speaker, Mr. Yiannas.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today. This is a new frontier for all of us as we deal with the realities of a pandemic, the impact it's having on our lives, on our families, on our communities, and on our work. Let me assure you that FDA is committed to protecting the health of the American people and facing any challenges that might arise during this crisis. That has never been more true than it is today. We are committed to ensuring the safety of the food supply and that the food supply chain from farm to table is not disrupted. Yesterday, we took several steps in our ongoing efforts to fulfill this commitment, including posting new frequently asked questions about COVID-19 and food on our website, and issuing a new guidance to help prevent disruptions in the supply chain by issuing a temporary change on FSMA supplier verification on-site audit requirements. Today, we would like to tell you a little bit more about the actions we've taken and additional steps we plan to take. And let me assure you that the U.S. food supply remains safe, and there are no food shortages. While we're aware that due to heavy consumer demand over the past week and weekend, certain food SKUs or food items may have been low in stock in your local grocery store, this is largely a demand issue, not a lack of supply, and manufacturers and retailers alike are working around the clock to replenish shelves. I'd like to begin with our commitment to workers, both at FDA and within the food system. We have an unwavering commitment to protect the health of FDA staff on the front lines of food safety, and equally, the health of workers on farms and in food establishments all over this nation. We've taken certain steps to help reduce the risk of infection for FDA inspectors in a way that we believe won't interrupt the process by which safe foods that you produce reach the market. Michael Rogers, who will follow me, will be discussing the changes we're making on an interim basis and how we'll be conducting inspections to be protective of personal health while supporting you and meeting our public health responsibilities. And equally, it's important for us to protect the health and well-being of employees in the food industry responsible for bringing food from farm to table. Everyone, and I mean everyone working in food, is a critical part of this nation's infrastructure, and we are grateful for what they're doing to feed people across the country at this critical time. Following Michael, you're going to hear from Dr. Susan Main, who will be discussing safeguards we have in place and others that we recommend to help keep these invaluable workers safe. And I know you have concerns, and we're here to try to address them to the best of our ability. So let me start off with an overview of what we're doing to help ensure food safety and access. First, let me be clear. There is no evidence of food or food packaging being associated with transmission of COVID-19. Let me repeat, there is no evidence of food or food packaging being associated with the transmission of COVID-19. This is not a foodborne gastrointestinal virus like norovirus or hepatitis A. The virus that causes COVID-19 is one that causes respiratory illness, and it is not known to be transmitted by exposure to food. It's much more likely that an infected person will spread the virus through person-to-person transmission rather than through contaminated food or food packaging. Of course, it might be possible that a person can get COVID-19 by touching a frequently contacted surface or object that has the virus on it and then touching their own mouth, nose, or eyes. But this is not thought to be the main way the virus spreads. For these reasons, we do not, and let me emphasize, we do not anticipate that food products would need to be recalled or withdrawn from market should a person that works in a food facility be confirmed for COVID-19. Furthermore, there is no nationwide shortages of food. I suspect I've had the same experience that you've had, visiting your local grocery store and seeing some shelves empty of certain items. But this is temporary until the stores can restock and replenish. Food production and food manufacturing are widely dispersed through the U.S., and there are currently no widespread disruptions reported in the food supply chain. We, and when I say we, I mean all of us, must continue to reassure and remind the American people that there's no need to hoard food, that they should only buy what they need for their families for a week or so. And in fact, national retail associations are issuing the same advice, telling us that retail supply chains remain strong. That said, FDA is working with food manufacturers and grocery stores to closely monitor the food supply chain for any shortages. Now, let me say something about partnerships. Addressing this crisis is a team effort, and it involves an all-of-government approach, as you've heard. It also involves public-private collaboration, and that's why we're teaming up with all partners at this critical time. FDA is working with the White House, with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, food industry, as well as state and international regulatory partners to monitor and mitigate any impact on food safety and food access for the American public. I personally am also a part of the White House-level coordinating committee on supply chain, and I can assure you that this group has broad representation from all components of the federal government that need to be in close contact on supply chain monitoring. We're also working with partners to address reported challenges associated with quarantines and travel restrictions that might be impeding your ability to continue to work and move product. This includes working with state and federal officials in industry to help ensure that food workers can get to and from their jobs in communities where curfews and shelter-in-place directives are being enforced. In closing, we want consumers to be confident in the safety of their food, and we want them to have access to foods they need for themselves and for their families. While Michael will now talk to you about our enforcement posture, I want to personally emphasize to everyone at all points in the food supply continuum that the FDA will provide maximum flexibility to ensure that they can do their work to safely feed the American public. In the talks I've given in the 15 months that I've been at FDA, I've often closed my speeches by saying that one of the things I've learned in the years in private sector is that there's a lot the industry can do to provide food and keep it safe. And I've learned from my time here at FDA now that there's a lot government can do to keep food safe and available. But what is crystal clear to me now more today than ever before is that there is so much more we can do and will do together. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Yannis. Mr. Rogers?
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. Again, my name is Michael Rogers, and I'm the Assistant Commissioner for Human and Animal Food Operations in FDA's Office of Regulatory Affairs, and I oversee the portfolio of the agency that carries out inspections, investigations, and sample collections at domestic and foreign human and animal food manufacturers and farms. And as part of this briefing, we wanted to give you a sense of what the industry should expect to see for the foreseeable future related to our current approach for inspections in the domestic arena that complement the recommendations from the White House, the CDC, and the local social distancing measures being adopted by many of the states that seem to change on a daily basis. We also want to inform this group about a procedural change that we're adopting for the domestic inspections that we plan to conduct going forward and reiterate a message regarding an area where we plan to use regulatory discretion with respect to some of the requirements under the Foreign Supplier Verification Program. So our approach for domestic inspections during this COVID-19 pandemic will be to focus our inspection resources on those mission-critical and for-cause inspections in the domestic arena, and to postpone, for the time being, the routine surveillance inspections that we were planning to conduct this fiscal year. This is an approach that we plan to reevaluate on a periodic basis. Our approach will always put the public health mission of the agency first and is focused on ensuring that the food supply is safe. It also takes into account the safety of our workforce, their families, and industry's workforce. Also, in a way not to overburden our industry stakeholders. Many of you are also aware that earlier this month, we announced that we were postponing most foreign facility inspections through April, and that inspections outside of the U.S. deemed mission critical will be considered on a case-by-case basis. So related to domestic inspections, our approach to postpone our domestic routine surveillance inspections will take into account the operational status of the firm and in many cases must reflect any geographic restrictions that the states are adopting, for example, some of the decisions related to shelter in place. Now, that's not to say that FDA won't be conducting an inspection at your facility, rather that our focus during this time will be on mission-critical work. And as part of this approach, you should know that the FDA will be conducting mission-critical inspections where and when they are needed, if there is any possible way to get there and accomplish them in a way that does not put anyone at risk. During this time, I'll offer that we're also evaluating ways to accomplish our mission, in some cases, without our traditional level of on-site presence at firms as part of our inspections, and we also plan to engage with industry on the best way to do that. I'll also add that the safety of the food supply is a shared responsibility between the regulators and the industry. And during this period, quite frankly, I think we'll be leveraging even more the role that industry has to ensure that the food supply is safe for all consumers. In my opening comments, I also mentioned a process change for our domestic inspections, and let me quickly address that. So many of you who have been inspected by the FDA know that the majority of our domestic inspections in the foods program are unannounced. And we've decided to modify that procedure, and for the foreseeable future, we will be pre-announcing the majority of the inspections that we will be conducting in the domestic arena. In some rare occasions, we may need to conduct an unannounced inspection, but quite frankly, right now, I can't think of many scenarios that would warrant that approach at this time. I also want to alert this audience to an area where we're exercising regulatory discretion. Yesterday, we issued guidance on FDA's intention to temporarily halt the enforcement of supplier verification on-site audit requirements for receiving facilities and importers under the Food Safety Modernization Act in response to this global pandemic. And so typically, these verification activities include on-site audits and sampling and testing or a review of food safety records. And so we understand that travel advisories and restrictions may impact the ability of receiving facilities and FSCP importers to conduct on-site audits and their suppliers, so we know that's a challenge for the industry. So I'll conclude by saying that you should be assured that the FDA is focused on providing the highest possible level of public health protection in support of FDA's mission during these challenging times. And I want to thank you for your time, and I look forward to your questions after we hear from Dr. Main. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. Dr. Main?
Hi, this is Susan Main. I'm the director of the Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition at the FDA. And I want to begin by reiterating what Frank acknowledged at the top of the briefing, that we really appreciate your patience and that we are working diligently on behalf of the American people and the food industry to address food safety and food access issues as they relate to FDA-regulated products. Yesterday, the FDA posted a new set of frequently asked questions at fda.gov/food. I urge you to check those questions and answers to see if they can answer some of the questions that you all have had and that we have been receiving. And we'll be updating them as fast as we can. We have a strong partnership within the FDA. We work across centers. I know we've had some questions coming in today, for example, about hand sanitizers. We work in very close partnership with CDER, the Center for Drugs that regulates hand sanitizers. They are working very hard to expand access where possible for these hand sanitizers, and we have made them aware of some of the questions you have flagged up for us. We also have a strong partnership across the public and private sectors that are involved in food and agricultural production, as well as other sectors that intersect with food production, like transportation and energy, to respond to emergency situations. This is coordinated through the Department of Homeland Security. We especially care about what's happening for the workers in food facilities. Facility food safety plans are required to include plans for controlling any risks that might be associated with workers who are ill, regardless of the type of virus or bacteria. These food safety plans have requirements for maintaining clean and sanitized facilities and food contact surfaces. Restaurants and retail food establishments are regulated at the state and local level. State, local, and tribal regulators use the FDA's food code to develop or update their own food safety rules. Again, there is no current evidence to support the transmission of the novel coronavirus that causes COVID-19 associated with food or food packaging. As an extra precaution to help avoid the transmission of this virus through surface contact, we recommend frequent washing and sanitizing of all food contact surfaces and utensils. Food service workers also must practice frequent hand washing and glove changes before and after preparing food. Include frequent cleaning and sanitizing of counters and condiment containers. Consumers should wash their hands after using serving utensils. In communities with sustained transmission of COVID-19, state and local health authorities have implemented social distancing measures which discourage or prohibit dining in congregate settings. We also recommend discontinuing self-service buffets and salad bars until these measures are lifted. Unlike foodborne gastrointestinal viruses like norovirus and hepatitis A that often make people ill through contaminated food, the novel coronavirus, which causes COVID-19, is a respiratory virus. It causes respiratory illness. Foodborne exposure to this virus is not known to be a route of transmission. If an employee is confirmed to have COVID-19, employers should inform fellow employees of their possible exposure to this virus in the workplace, but maintain confidentiality. Employees exposed to a coworker with confirmed COVID-19 should follow CDC's guidance, what to do if you are sick with coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19. Employers should consult with the local health department for additional guidance. While the primary responsibility in this instance is to take appropriate actions to protect other workers and people who might have come in contact with the ill employee, facilities should redouble their cleaning and sanitation efforts to control any risks that might be associated with workers who are ill, regardless of the type of virus or bacteria. For example, facilities are required to maintain clean and sanitized facilities and food contact surfaces. I want to take a few minutes to direct you to some additional resources. Just about every government agency has an emergency operations center working on this issue. FDA's website points you to where information for COVID-19 is posted and how to direct questions, as do websites for our partners from USDA, CDC, and EPA. If you are experiencing issues regarding your supply chain, delivery of goods, or business continuity, please contact the FEMA National Business Emergency Operations Center. And it's an acronym, nbeoc@fema.dhs.gov. Again, that's nbeoc@fema.dhs.gov. FEMA's National Business Emergency Operations Center. This is a 24/7 operation, and they can assist in directing your inquiry to the proper contact. Get in touch with them if you are having problems with transportation or moving food or getting food through areas that have imposed quarantines. In terms of the FDA, the main coronavirus food page is at www.fda.gov/food. In addition, the best way to ensure that your food safety questions are getting through to the FDA are to submit them to us through a mechanism we have stood up to use for this specific coronavirus. We've used it with the FSMA Technical Assistance Network before, and it's our Food and Cosmetic Information Center. The site for that is www.fda.gov/FCIC, which stands for Food and Cosmetic Information Center. So if you have food safety technical questions, please submit them to our Food Cosmetic Information Center. Those questions will be logged in and they will be answered. Again, if you have supply chain issues, those should go in through the mechanism with FEMA that I described previously. Thank you. I'm going to turn it back over to the moderator.
Thank you very much, Dr. Main. At this time, again, I want to thank everyone for joining us. I do think we have a few minutes to take some questions, so if the operator would like to help us with that process now.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star 1. Please unmute your phones and state your first and last name when prompted. Our first question comes from Chris Newton, and please state your organization. Chris Newton, your line is open, and please state your organization.
Yes, hi. I'm with Saver Food Safety International. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. You can ask your question.
As you were talking on mission-critical domestic inspections, can you explain a little further what would be a mission-critical cause for a mission-critical inspection, please? Thank you.
Thank you for that question. This is Michael, so I'll address that. We put our inspections into two categories, routine surveillance that I referenced, and those are the inspections that we accomplish throughout the fiscal year as part of our routine inspectional coverage. In some cases, our inspection frequency mandates related to FSMA require that we inspect some firms once every 3 years, the high-risk facilities and the non-high-risk facilities once every 5 years. That's a surveillance category. Those are the types of inspections that we would consider to be routine surveillance. The four cause and mission-critical inspections, I can give you some examples in the food space. So inspections that might be in support of a foodborne outbreak or in support of a Class 1 recall or in support of a product that is related to the COVID-19 pandemic would be a category of the type of inspections that the agency would do its best to accomplish, provided that it doesn't put anyone at risk.
Thank you. Operator, we can take another question.
Thank you. Alva Velasco, you may go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling from U.S. Waffle Company. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can.
My question is, I just wanted to make sure, we're a food manufacturer, and we want to make sure that our product is safe and is high quality, of course. So would we have to follow any procedures? And if, let's say, one of our employees is sick with COVID-19, would we have to place that product on hold until we make sure it's safe, or do we just follow our own internal procedures? Thank you so much.
So this is Susan. I can take that question. We have several questions that we've put on our website that directly address that question. And the answer is no, we're not requesting that you put product on hold. There's a whole bunch of series of questions and answers that we've addressed. You know, you want to prevent spreading within the plant, obviously. So the primary goal is to prevent the spread person to person. But we're not asking that food be placed on hold or that food be recalled or anything like that. And I would direct you to our website with the question and answers we just posted yesterday that really get into that.
Great. Thank you. Operator, I think we could take another question.
Thank you. Carrie Leary, you may go ahead and please state your organization. Carrie Leary, your line is open. Please state your organization. We can go to the next question. Jody Blanche Gorton, you may go ahead and please state your organization.
Hi, this is Jody from Gorton's. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thanks. Yes. We're a national food manufacturer. Would we be considered essential or critical to infrastructure for supplying the food? In other words, could the state of Massachusetts shut us down, or what? Is there any other guidance there?
I can address that. The food and agriculture is a critical sector in the infrastructure under the Department of Homeland Security. So we want to do everything possible to make sure that food and ag continues production, manufacturing, without hindrance, because it is a critical sector. So if you have any challenges in that regard, those should be directed to the FEMA information that I provided earlier. Again, under Department of Homeland Security, we coordinate across different sectors. That includes transportation. That includes energy. If you're having any logistical challenges in maintaining your supply chain, please reach out to FEMA, and we will work with the FEMA process to make sure that you can continue to produce food.
Thank you. Operator, I think we can take another question.
Thank you. Penny Greenwood, you may go ahead and please state your organization. Penny Greenwood, your line is open. We'll go to the next question. Matt Coffin, you may go ahead and please state your organization.
Hi, this is Matt Coffin with RCOP Inc. A question regarding local health officials that are asking us to, from a restaurant standpoint, to take temperatures of employees. Do you have any guidance on how this should be done when thermometers aren't accessible and we don't want to have, touch-to-touch thermometers involving employees?
This is Susan. I'll try to take that. What I would say is work with your local health department. What I will tell you, again, is there is coordination across the FDA. We are aware that there are shortages of some of these touchless thermometers. That is a part that's regulated by a different piece of the FDA. We are in daily communication calls. We're aware that there are some shortages on those issues and working hard at FDA to increase production and make those available. But in the meantime, I would suggest working with your local health department.
Thank you, and thank you to all of our speakers and to everyone who has joined us today. Again, this is Carrie Barrett. I want to remind you that we have recorded today's call. It will be available in replay through our FDA.gov website. If you look at workshops, meetings, and webinars on the Food and Dietary Supplement webpage, we hope to have this recording up later today. But please do give us 24 hours to get it up, although our intention is to get it up as soon as we can. So, again, this will conclude today's call, and thank you very much for your time and your participation. Thank you.
And thank you. This concludes today's conference call. You may go ahead and disconnect at this time.